My first guest has not only seen the movie Pirate Radio, he has lived the life of Pirate Radio. Gord Cruz was on board Radio Caroline North, one of the illegal pirate radio stations that operated off the coast of Britain during the 60s and 70s?
Mid-60s.
Mid-60s.
64 to 67.
Right. Welcome to the show, Gord.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for the interest and the time and the fun.
Well, listen, you know, you just alerted me to the fact that this movie was coming out, I think, in June.
Oh, was it that long ago?
I think it was, and it was because it was supposed to come out in August.
Yes.
So we thought,
yes,
okay, soon as it's out, you and I will talk about Pirate Radio.
Right.
Not only the movie, but your days on Pirate Radio. And then, as Hollywood frequently does, Hollywood decided, no, August is not the right time for it. Let's wait until November. So it's finally out. Came out on Friday. And you've seen it several times. You've seen both the British version and the North.
Yes, I have. I had a sneak preview a couple of months back of the UK release of the movie, and there it was called The Boat That Rocked.
That Rocked, right.
And it's North America release. It's called Pirate Radio. It's a fun movie. It's not a historical drama. Richard Curtis, the director, said, someone should do that. But they kept...
but not me.
Well, no. They do capture the premise of what we did, the fun, the girls, the fame, the excitement. Some of the scenes are extremely accurate. Some of the scenes in the control room are not, but you'd have to be a DJ to notice that kind
of
stuff. Just an in thing. I remember well the little speedboats and pleasure craft circling the ship, the North Ship, full of girls.
Oh, yeah.
And we were on board for 2 weeks and then off for a week, on board for two, off for a week. Each time we came off, there was a crowd waiting in Ramsey on the Isle of Man for us. And the same thing for the guys on the cell ship at Liverpool Street Station. And the Brits listening will know those stations well. Mm-hmm. My first duty was on Caroline South, where I worked for about 2 months with... The guy who, the Count, which Philip plays in the movie, actually worked, and this man's character is the character in the movie that Philip plays. Okay. So in the movie, the Count, Philip Hoffman plays him, based on Emperor Roscoe.
Ha.
Ha, yeah.
I've heard that name.
And his real name is Mike Pasternak.
Okay.
And you will remember probably the name Joe Pasternak.
Yes.
Producer of the Elvis movies.
Right.
Well, Mike was on board with us. I worked with him a couple of months, and he used to carry a parrot around on his shoulder ship.
Yeah. No kidding.
Character, flamboyant, full of beans, great one-liners, funny guy, very bright. He was the source of the Count for the movie. Hmm. He came on board our reunion in August of 07, in his early 60s now. Still flamboyant. I've got a picture of him climbing on board the ship, and he's got one of these Uncle Sam hats on, American flag, and he brings this lovely lady on board. He was on board for about 4 hours on the weekend that we were there.
We'll have to – I want to get to that a little bit later on. First, just for those who aren't familiar with pirate radio, what was it and why was it?
Set the scene. Mid-1960s, up until the pirates, BBC controlled the British radio airwaves.
Right.
They had three networks, the home, the third, and the light. Very professional, very straight-laced, no quote-unquote needle time.
Okay.
A gentleman by the name of Ronan O'Reilly, an Irish son of an Irish businessman, industrialist, was the manager for a chap called Georgie Fame, who at the time had a song called Yeah Yeah and many others. Yeah. He also managed the Stones. He went to the BBC and asked for needle time, some air time for his artists.
Yeah. Rock and roll. Yeah. Let's play some rock and roll.
Yeah. The only place you could get it was Radio Luxembourg. The BBC said no, and he pursued it. They said no. So finally...
So this is the mid-60s when the British invasion, all the British artists, even the lousy ones, were dominating the charts in North America.
The biggest time in British music. And the movie says that right on the opening credits. Yeah. It says, you know, when you know all this was going on. So Ronan got together with another gentleman, and they bought a freighter, the Mi Amigo coastal freighter, about I don't know how many tonnage it was. It was 180 feet long, and it was outfitted as a broadcast ship. Put a radio station on it, transmitter, generators in the hold, 40 tons of concrete to balance the 160-foot mass that stood from the deck straight up into the air. First broadcast was at noon, Good Friday, in March of 94. First song, Ray Charles, "Hit the Road, Jack." And it didn't quite go on at exactly noon, and Roland was telling us at a reunion a few years ago, "I was so worried. I had all these people lined up to listen to this great new sound, and the damn thing wouldn't go on."
Oh,
So that was the start of it.
Yeah.
It started then and went until August of 1967, when the Marine Offenses Act made it illegal to work or supply the pirate radio ships.
Huh.
So in that 3 years, the pirates provided popular music like we listen to here, like we were listening to here in the
60s.
Yeah. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
We did it a little different, a little more folksy, kind of corny in places. A great number of British and Irish acts, considering Ronan O'Reilly was Irish, he had a lot of his own people on. But at the same time, it caught on. Within a year, less than a year, probably 8 or 9 months, there were almost a dozen of these pirate radio outfits encircling the British Isles. It was an incredible phenomenon. Radio Caroline, Mi Amigo, original ship, was eventually brought to the North Sea, or to the Irish Sea, called Radio Caroline North, and was anchored just 3.5 miles off the Isle of Man, out of Ramsey Bay. And the North Ship and the South Ship, between the two of those ships, the South Ship broadcasting into London area in southern England, from the Thames Estuary, 3.5 miles outside of British territorial water, because we couldn't get a legal license to operate on land. So that's how they got around there. Sure. So we were in international waters. Between those two ships, approximately 15 to 18 million, with an M, listeners.
Wow.
So Caroline North had 5 to 7 million listeners. If I'd known that when I went on the air and did the crazy, you'd have had to give me new underwear, because it was pretty scary. That millions of people. With a national radio show in Canada today, you don't get maybe a million.
Yeah, probably.
1.2, you know?
Yeah.
So it was absolutely huge. I've got a quote here from John Lennon.
Okay.
John Lennon says about pirates, and these are his words, "They're bigger than we are."
Hmm.
That came from John through a transmission from America in August of 66, when the first couple of months that I was on the pirates. Our chief announcer and morning show guy, Jerry Layton, was touring with the Beatles. He spent a whole month with the Beatles. And some of the stories I cannot tell you on the air.
I believe
it. Great, interesting stuff. But that was one of the quotes that came back to us. John said to Jerry, "I think that American radio isn't half as good as English because they talk too much." And then another quote from John Lennon to Jerry Layton. "Why don't you go on the South Ship, Jerry? I'd be able to hear you in London then. I think the North Ship is the better of the two." I mean,
and that was the ship that you were on.
That was the ship I was on.
Wow.
And the air check that we'll hear in a few minutes, I was filling in for Jerry on the show. Jerry is still in England, southern England.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him since the Pirates. I think he's running a business in the south of England.
Hmm.
But that's the kind of impact it had. And you might be interested in this. The Pirates broke these groups, and a lot of people don't know this. The Who, Cream, Jimi Hendrix Experience, Dusty Springfield, The Small Faces, Cat Stevens, Tom Jones, Donovan, and a number of British names that we wouldn't know here, like you might know The Bachelors, Paul and Barry Ryan. The Bachelors did Diane, and you know some of the old hits redone. I was off on my week off with one of the other DJs, Dave Williams, who lives in Belgium now.
Mm-hmm.
Saw him a couple of years ago. Still a great guy. We went on our week off to Manchester. And we went to a nightclub called The Phonograph. Somebody found out and told somebody that there were a couple of Caroline DJs in the club. The music stopped. The spotlights went on us. The house lights went on, and we were introduced as Caroline DJs. I mean, I was born in Calgary. A little stubble jumper from the Canadian prairies introduced in a nightclub in Manchester, England. Holy cats.
Wow.
Just unbelievable. I was showing you earlier some pictures, you know, some of the stuff that one of the shots is with. I'm emceeing a dance, a gig in Blackpool, which is a holiday resort town on the west coast of England. Got £100 for 3 hours' work. Unbelievable wages. There's a picture there. I've got a girl in each arm, and somebody took a picture for me. So that's the kind of thing that went on. When I started with the Pirates, the average wage in England was £5 a week.
Mm-hmm.
I started at 25.
Wow.
Five times.
So
and Pirates, everything was found.
So the Pirates were...
phenomenal.
Were doing fairly well if they could afford to pay you that much.
Yes. More. And I was, that was the minimum. That's what you started at.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And I worked a year there and got a little more after the end of the year.
We're going to take a quick break. Talking to Gord Cruz about his days on Radio Caroline North, Pirate Radio. I'm Scott Walker. This is CFAX 1070. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Dave Dixon. On the next show, we'll discuss a new distributor and manager of the fund.
This is Eye on the Arts, and as you may have noticed, we are an hour early. We are now starting at 5 o'clock on a Sunday and going through until 8 o'clock. And my guest in this first hour is Gord Cruz, who was on Radio Caroline North during the heydays of the pirate radio stations in the late 60s off the coast of the UK. Gord, how did a guy from Calgary end up on Radio Caroline?
mid-60s, I'm working at CFQC in Saskatoon.
Okay.
Decided to take a year and see the world. Ended up in London, got a job in a warehouse, packing garden furniture, Rolgay Industries, I still remember the name, on Wardour Street. Guy I was working with, another young guy, said, what'd you do in Canada? And I told him, and he said, you should go to Radio Caroline and work there. I said, what is Radio Caroline? Because I'm used to CFAX, CFQC, that kind of thing. So he explained. So I went in on a Friday afternoon to do an audition, and I'm reading the news in the announce booth, and I get about four lines into this newscast in my audition, so to speak, Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go home. And the door bursts open, and the guy that's, could do the audition bursts in. I thought, that's it. He already knows I ain't no good. He said, can you start on Monday? yes, okay. So I go to the South Ship first, off the Thames Estuary.
Right.
My first time on the air. This is crazy. I'm sitting in, I'm handed my newscast. I'm taken to the announce booth in the bowels of the ship. Okay, this is a rocking, rolling, pardon the pun, ship.
Yes.
And it's
kind
a booth,
of appropriate in a way.
Yeah, truly. It's an announce booth about the size of a phone booth, that width. And it's between two water tanks.
Okay.
Massive water tanks.
I guess there had to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got a blanket hanging on each tank. Okay. And it gets crazier. The mic is fastened to the table, screwed down with screws into the table.
Mm-hmm.
And you hook your legs around the table leg underneath. Red light goes on. I do my first story. I pause for a moment between the two stories. I can hear the water gurgling and sloshing in the tanks on either side. I nearly burst out loud laughing. Despite the blankets, you can hear the water going.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, boy, if the guys at QC could see this, unbelievable. Or anybody in Canada, for that matter. So I did my newscast, and then they wanted a guy who could do news, which I was doing to start with, as well as DJ. And they needed somebody that could do both. They wouldn't have to spend too much money. So they sent me up to the North Ship, and that's where I spent pretty much the next year doing both DJ, filled in morning, night, afternoon, whenever, and newscast as well. And, Scott, I must admit, we pirated the news.
Oh, no.
Isn't that
from
horrific?
From the BBC?
Don't tell anyone. Yeah, we did.
I'm sure they probably know that by now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I know they. You actually got to do a reunion on the BBC a few years ago, and we'll talk about that. We're going to take a break for the news, and Gord Cruz will continue to talk about his days on Pirate Radio. I'm
Yahoo.
Scott Walker. Yahoo! We should get some discs and do some spinning here, Gord. You're listening to Eye on the Arts on CFAX 1070. I'm Scott Walker. The news is coming up next with Anita Bath, and then we'll be back with more on Pirate Radio. Stay with us.
Call us direct or collect, 250-386-1161, or on your cell at Star 1070. It's Eye on the Arts with Scott Walker on CFAX 1070.
And my guest is Gord Cruz, who was on one of the crews of the of the original pirate radio stations, Radio Caroline North. As we continue to talk about pirate radio, because the movie Pirate Radio was released in Canada on Friday. And Gord, I think before we go any farther, we should play the air check of you hosting the morning show. Now, this is just about 3 minutes of the show that you hosted. And for those who don't know what an air check is, it's kind of what we DJs, we radio folks, save as either a memento or a calling card for the next job.
Or your manager listens to correct your announcing.
Your announcing, yes.
Those
are the ones that the managers actually make for themselves.
Yeah.
For that very reason. Yeah. So what you're going to hear is Gord talking a lot and not a lot of music, because, of course, we don't need to hear the music.
Yeah.
It's
you stop the recording.
Exactly. All right. So, and now, when was this taken?
This was in mid to late January of 1967 from Radio Caroline North in the Irish Sea.
All right. Gord Cruz, air check.
Well, there's the swingy hip cats. Cat Stevens there, Matthew and Son, a great song with a brand new twist to it, and one that's into the countdown very strongly this week. We have the brand new countdown to present for you at 12 noon today in the Baby Bob Stewart Show. This is the Late and Early Show. Gordy Cruz with you until 9 this morning for Jerry Supa. Nobody cares. I'm spinning them here right for you till 9 this morning. Saturday, January the 14th, 44 degrees this morning.
There's a million little seagulls in a million little nests. Every little seagull thinks he's better than the rest.
There's Jonathan King.
A thousand little seals have the fun. There's a big man with a gun.
Jonathan King there, a song called Seagulls. You like that one? Well, Sandy Shaw.
All of my life.
Sandy Shaw there. She's well into the brand new Caroline countdown that we'll present with greatest of pleasure at 12 noon today on the Baby Bob Stewart Show. Sandy Shaw there, and I Don't Need Anything. All potential Radio Caroline advertisers should find out the facts about Caroline's new premium promotion schemes. This is a brand new way to advertise with costs at a minimum level and yet retaining maximum audience coverage. If you're thinking of advertising on Radio Caroline North, get the facts about premium promotions. Write to Radio Caroline, 61 Lord Street, Liverpool 2, or telephone Liverpool Central, 8393. A sea of faces there, a rise for that one from last week's position in the Caroline charts, and a brand number that we'll give away at 12 noon, starting with the Baby Bob Stewart Show's number 50 song and going right up to number 1 by 3 this afternoon. That's in the Caroline Countdown Show at 12 noon.
Sounds fine, it's Caroline!
Here's news of a great new Caroline competition starting on the 1st of February. The Caroline Free Petrol Competition will be giving away over 1,000 gallons of petrol every month at service stations and garages throughout the North. So look out for the big red and black Free Petrol sign at service stations and garages from February 1st. Terry Knight and the Pack now at 8:16.
Everybody, no matter...
Lots of TNT for you this morning. Time, news, and temperature. Lots of sounds from the podcast.
That was, yeah, for anybody who just tuned in right now and is wondering if they've just gone on a time trip. Radio Caroline. What? That was Gord Cruz.
I can't believe I did that, Scott.
I can't believe you did that either. And I can't believe,
unbelievable,
you know, in retrospect, that that was considered subversive and endangering the morals of the youth of Britain.
Well,
and had to be taken off the air.
Oh, and according to the government, we were interfering with the shipping lanes. We were interfering with radio, marine broadcasts. We weren't paying license fees for the music we played, and any number of other trumped up charges.
Yes,
but
they sound
so put us off the air.
Yeah. I also found it very interesting that the music that we heard, the four or five cuts of music, were certainly unfamiliar to me. I mean, I may have heard one of them. I was familiar with some of the artists, but it just goes to show you these were in your countdown.
Yeah.
On Radio Caroline, but they were tunes that never made it over here, as far as I recall.
Sandy Shaw. Obviously the Beatles, you know. Mm-hmm. The song that sticks in my head most, other than the Beatles, which were absolutely dominant, is Neil Diamond's Solitary Man.
No
Melinda
kidding.
Was Mine,
yeah,
too. That
yeah.
one. Because I played it. I think I turned the record white, you know. Just and a note about playing music on a ship, okay? You're at sea. So there's waves. So the ship is moving.
Yeah.
So the needle arm sits on the record and plays in an ordinary radio studio. On a ship, if it's rough, the needle goes right off and won't stay on the record.
No, of course.
Okay?
I never thought of that.
So, and that's what, you know, that's living on board. Mm-hmm. So we had all of our music on tape.
Ah, of course.
Okay. In the movie, you'll see the control board that Philip and the other DJs use. In my research, I discovered that that is the actual board that I used and my fellow DJs used on Caroline.
No kidding.
Unbelievable. There it is. They've marked it up with, you know, some little signs and stuff. And there's a machine to one side. It's about maybe a foot square. And it's got a flat surface with two little guides in one corner, stops in one corner. And it's a cart machine.
Right.
Okay? So it's a Spotmaster cart machine. You put your old 8-track size cart, slam it in there, pull a lever to engage it, hit the button, it puts it on the air. You turn the bottom, it puts it on the air. They use that actual Spotmaster machine, and I'm sure it's one of the ones that I used.
It's probably one of the few still remaining
in existence.
That still works.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty advanced technology for the late 60s.
It was.
When I was a top 40 DJ in the mid 70s, we were still playing 45s. We didn't get into cartridges until the 80s.
Yeah. The name Caroline came from President Kennedy's daughter, Caroline.
Right.
And here's how it happened. When he was setting the station up, Roland took a trip to Texas to purchase a transmitter. On the flight to Texas, he's thumbing through a Life magazine. Opens a page, and here's a picture, and I'm sure you've seen this one. President Kennedy in the Oval Office at his desk, and Caroline is playing in front of the
desk.
That's right. And the caption underneath, "The world waits while Caroline plays." Bingo. And Roman told me this story at a reunion a few years ago. He said, that's where I got the name from.
Wow.
Unreal. Just, you know.
What was it like living on that ship?
Pretty much day to day, you know. The excitement portrayed in the movie didn't happen like that every day. You know, there wasn't something action, fun, comedy, serious, crazy going on all the time. It was just boring sometimes. You just sat on the ship.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
In the good weather, we went swimming around the ship. Yeah. You had to watch out for the Portuguese man of war in the water because they could be dangerous. In the storms, we had a cage on the ship that showed us how much we were rolling, 35 degrees one way and the other. So think of eating a meal with that kind of thing going on.
Mm.
So you sat at the table in the lounge, and you hooked your legs around the table legs, which are fastened to the floor. You grabbed on your glass of milk and your your plate, and you ate. So you didn't lose your plate over the side of the table. Sitting in the lounge during a storm, electrical storm, force 8, force 9 gale winds.
Yeah.
Lightning, radio station.
Yes.
160-foot mast up from the deck.
Right.
You could look out the window, and behind you, there's the mast, you know, maybe a car's length away from you, and you could see the electricity going up and down the mast.
Wow.
It'd make the hair on the back of your neck stand up sometimes. Just little things like that. You really knew you were on board a ship. And the ship is anchored, okay? It's got a big anchor in it. And there's 40 tons of ballast in the hold to counteract the tower.
Yeah.
So when the ship is rolling and going up and down, the bow up and down with the waves, into the wind, of course, and it's anchored, there's a big, heavy anchor chain. So it goes up with the waves, obviously brings the anchor chain up.
Mm-hmm.
The ship goes down faster than the anchor chain does.
Uh-huh.
So by the time the ship reaches the bottom of its downward thrust, it's coming up again. The chain is still going down. When the two meet, bounce, 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 the whole ship just shuddered. Unbelievable.
No wonder you had to get off after a couple of weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
To get a little, get your land legs again.
Yeah.
And what were you treated like? Actually, hold that thought. Because we're going to take a break, and then we'll talk more. Gord Cruz, the days of Caroline North, Pirate Radio. This is Eye on the Arts. I'm Scott Walker. We'll be right back.
Adam Sterling here. Suicide remains the same.
Pirate Radio, Radio Caroline North, Gord Cruz. You mentioned, Gord, that Pirate radio essentially changed the face of broadcasting in Britain. How did it do that?
With the Marine Offences Act, the pirate ships were taken off the air.
That was the way the British government got you off the air? That way they concocted these charges?
They just made it illegal.
Right.
But the government and the BBC saw that there was an immense reaction to this kind of radio. And, mm-hmm. and so they changed the way they delivered radio to the Giles. Instead of the Home, the Third, and the Light, they went to a number of different national networks. The network that replaced the Pirates was called the Light. And the first DJs on the Light network were pirate DJs.
No
sweet
kidding.
Irony there.
Yeah.
Tony Blackburn, I'm sure some of the listeners will remember his name. He's still on BBC. Johnny Walker does a drive show nationally. I think
makes
just on
a
the
great Scotch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Dave Cash, Mike Lennox, just some of the guys that I'm still in touch with some of these guys. So it was a complete change to the way radio was broadcast in Britain. So it changed British radio broadcasting.
So how many Canadians were there on the Carolines and the other pirate radio stations?
Closest I can determine, probably about 15, maybe 20. Just guessing, I've met some of them, the guys that worked on the other ships at some of our reunions that I hadn't met before. So 15, 20, maybe two dozen altogether.
Tell me about the reunion. Now, this was something that happened just a couple of years ago.
Oh, summer of 07.
Yeah.
40th anniversary of the Marine Offences Act, which took us off the air. The BBC invited all former pirate DJs to come to England and broadcast for a week from a ship that they hired, put a radio station on, and anchored in Harwich Bay, just northeast of London. So there's about 60 of us showed up from all over the world. Keith Hampshire from Toronto was there, myself, and we broadcast for a week. I did the morning news run from 5 until noon, either locally around Harwich, regionally, South England, or nationally on the weekend, just depending on the time of the week that you were broadcasting. And we had incredible response. The National Television Network here in Canada came aboard and did a piece on me. It ran on the National and News World in August of 07. We got email from Victoria, from London, Ontario, from Halifax, from Nova Scotia, from New Brunswick, from the Prairies. Hey, tell Gordy we saw him on the National News. Whoa, slow down. It was easy to get a really swelled ego.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I can't do that. I'm proud of what I did. Unique experience. But I can't go that direction. I'm still talking to the people that I know and love here in Victoria and various parts of Canada. Still in touch with the broadcasters that were at the reunion by email. We talk to each other a lot. So, very unique experience. A couple of dozen Canadians on that ship. part of history.
Yeah, for sure. And it's been, I don't think revenge is the quite the right word, but there must have been a sense of satisfaction that you were back doing it again on the BBC.
The sweet irony is just too much to, I mean, holy cats. Yeah. It just, it was there, you know, and, yeah. and we actually mentioned it on the air a few times and just, here we are. They changed, but they had the maturity to change.
Yes, they did.
They had the resilience to offer something that was more to the liking of the people to whom they were broadcasting. Mm-hmm. You know what I wonder? I wonder if Prince Charles ever listened to Radio Caroline.
Oh, he had to. He had to.
Had to have. He was the right age.
He was.
You know, exactly. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Oh, my grandsons play soccer.
Yeah.
I'm at a soccer game a couple of years ago. There's a chap with an English accent down mm-hmm. the way. So I started asking him questions about pirate radio. Have you ever listened to pirate radio? He said, oh, yes, Gordon. Radio Caroline. Radio Caroline North, actually. He said, I lived in Liverpool. And we chatted for a minute. Then he looked at me and said, why do you ask? So I told him. He said, I don't believe it. What? Really? And every time we see each other, it's, how's the old DJ? You know what they say about old broadcasters?
Yes.
They don't.
We just know. Yeah. Don't go there. No, that's one of those off-the-air jokes.
Yeah. So contrasting the movie and what was really there, the movie is fun. The movie's exciting. It's a bit silly and frivolous in places. Mm-hmm. It captures the excitement of the day. It doesn't talk about the alleged payola, wink, wink. It doesn't show you getting on board from the tender that brought us out from shore. Yeah. If it's rough, those two decks are 15 feet apart, going up and down.
Yeah.
So the trick was you waited till the tender was higher than the ship deck, and you jumped. And your fellow DJs caught you on the other side.
No wonder you got 25 pounds a week. Danger pay as much Danger as anything pay. Else.
Most Gordon, of all, it was fun.
We have run out of time. And I'm so glad a chance to talk about this finally. And we didn't even get a chance to talk about the other things that you've done. You've written a book called Juvie about your days working at
the Youth Custody Center.
Yeah. We'll have to get you back on to talk about that
thank you,
at
Scott.
Another time. But thank you so much for being with us.
Appreciate
on
your time
Eye
today.
On the Arts.